See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe, we are now in a brand new year. Not as we're recording this episode, but now when this comes out, we will be in the future.
I have already thrown away 2024 like a parking ticket.
Yeah.
It's a thing of the past. It's in the rear view.
Yeah.
It's pointless to think about it.
It's almost like we're time traveling. I don't know. I may have said that.
This time of year.
Now that I'm saying it, I feel like that was a joke I did before. Don't know.
Time travel? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Good thing nobody listens to the old episodes.
That's true. Joe, how was your Christmas? Was it did you get all of your dreams? Did they all come true?
Not a one, but wow. I did get the Jaws Lego kit, which was really cool.
That was really cool.
You know,
did you put it together already or?
Yes. So, both of my kids are very into Legos.
Yeah, mine is too.
They're very into, you know, the bigger the kit, the better. Mm-hmm. And I've never really put a Lego kit together of my own since my kids were very, very young. Mm. This is actually probably my first kit. Mm. And I now understand the appeal entirely. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I started putting this together one day while I was on vacation at like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Oh.
And when I got all done, I'm like, all right, this looks great. And I'm like, God, I'm kind of hungry. It's probably around dinner time. And I got up and I looked at my phone and it said 10:30 PM. Like, I have no idea where the day went at all. I was so engrossed in this. Just the whole time you're just thinking, oh, just one more bag. And I'm so much close to being done.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a ton of fun. I put it together. It looks great. Goes on the shelf with all the rest of the kids' Legos. Loved it.
Yeah, we I don't know, several years ago started a tradition where we would buy one piece of Lego every year and put it together. It'll be like a Christmas village kind of thing of Lego. Yeah. And they always release something new for Christmas every year. Mm-hmm. And so we've done that every year. And so our little village I'll take a picture. Maybe I'll take a picture of it and post it on the fan group. But it's really cool. So we got, you know, a nice village and it takes up a good portion of our dining room table. But it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So we do that now. Of course, my son's girlfriend, she joins us as well. So, yeah. It's a nice tradition, but yeah, he's always been into Legos. He's still very into them. And, he puts them together so fast. Like he's like an expert at it. He puts them together really quickly. So
it's a nice pastime. It's an expensive pastime, but it's fun.
Yeah. Well, I got a drone, Joe. So I'm going to be droning on and on.
And on. Yeah. Yeah. Until somebody shoots it out of the sky.
Yeah. Please hope not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty exciting. And
I'm expecting some very nice drone photography in the next CineScare short.
Yes, we will make sure we have a drone shot in the next CineScare short for sure. We had one in the first one in Foot of the Bed, but that was just a stock footage I bought for the opening. But yeah, now I'll be able to actually use some drone footage. It's got 4K video. It's, you know, it'll work.
I would love for you to take that drone, fly it to my house around Halloween, mm-hmm. and like swoop through my cemetery display.
Yeah, that would be cool. If I can ever get to your house in October, I'd love to do that.
You can't just fly it that from
no Burbank. It doesn't quite no. reach yeah no
they have the you, range
well for one thing A, it doesn't have the reach, and B, there is a law. It must be in the United States. They have to be in line of sight. So
that seems unconstitutional, but what yeah, do I does. Know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't have one.
Yeah. So, Joe, this week,
Matt,
we didn't have a pick, and we can't really talk about anything recent we watched because they might wind up on one of our lists. So I guess we could talk about it after, or they might not. We could talk about them afterwards for sure.
We certainly could.
Yeah.
Or during.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, we could talk about what didn't make our top 10 for sure. On top of that, honorable mentions and whatnot.
I say we just get to it because we usually do like 11. No,
I don't want to do that. I meant after we're done with our top 10,
yeah,
we could talk about what didn't make it in or whatever.
We're all loosey goosey here at the Cinescare podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite a few movies that we're vying. And I think I have a prediction, Joe. I think we're mostly going to overlap. There will be a few. I think I'm going to predict there's three. There will be three that are different.
Only three that are different?
Yeah. I have a feeling we will have seven movies that we share in the top 10. Yes. I think there's three of mine that I know I'm quite sure will not be on yours. At least two of them I know won't be. But I could be wrong about that.
I'm guessing you're probably right.
And then
I would say six.
I think you might have I don't think that there's any movies this year that we just completely disagree. Well, no, there might be. But anyway, well, let's just get to it.
Hang on. I do have one thing I'd like to talk about.
Yeah. Your methods for choosing?
No. Completely different. Okay. About a forum. And I'm not like pimping somebody else's goods. I just think this
is
something that our listeners may enjoy. And some of our new listeners may have come from this. So I sort of discovered this Midnight Monster Club. It's a online forum of like-minded individuals. It's just people in the horror community, and you can sign up. It's completely free. And it's just as you start off as a level one. I think it's a zombie. They've named all the levels. Anyway, it's just a thread group, a forum. So somebody posts something about, let's say a particular movie, like I really thought this movie was good. What do you guys think? And you could go in there and you can type in, you voice your opinion. And as people like your comments, then you rank up. And once you become a level three, you can create your own threads like, well, I saw this movie, or what do you like better, Fallen or Frozen, you know, stuff like that. And you meet all these very interesting, like-minded individuals. And it's a great little forum. And if you're looking, if that's appealing to you, which it was to me, I highly recommend doing so. Seeking that out, like I said, Midnight Monster Club. And I would like to also welcome a handful of listeners that I talked about our podcast in this forum. And a lot of them said they would check it out. So assuming they're people of their word, then welcome to the show. So hope you enjoy it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was even a post today about who's your favorite author for horror. And I happen to mention and drop a plug for Mr. Matthew Speak.
Nice.
With The Last House. So
I appreciate
I'm always looking for a way to fit you in.
I appreciate that. I have only had a chance to look at it a little bit, and it does look like there's some really nice discussions in there. And it doesn't feel like it's one of those groups where it just turns into, you know, I hate this movie, you know, kind of thing. And then everyone has to argue about it. It does seem like it's very much based on love of horror. So I like that.
I will say this much. I have climbed up the ranks. I am now a level five. I think it took me a week. But I have like 320 more likes I have to get before I can be a level six. And only 1% of the 3,400 people in this group are a level six. So. But it's fun. If you like to chat about this type of stuff, you can climb up through the ranks very easily. So
yes. Yeah. Excellent. Well, all right. So that brings us very quickly to our top 10 horror movies of the year 2024. And I guess, you know, we could talk for a moment about our methods for doing it. Joe, what are your big, I know it's a rich tapestry of thinking that goes into this, but what would you say are the main points you look for in a movie that will make your top 10?
I have a whole room of supercomputers calculating algorithms to try to tap into what I like as far as movies. One of which, as I've stated numerous times before, obviously is rewatchability. And if this is a movie I want to watch again and again, then obviously it's going to climb up through the ranks faster than things that I'm just like, meh, I've seen it. It was neat, but I don't want to see it again. So rewatchability is definitely a key for me. Another one is I need to be sucked in to the point where if I can find myself in a conundrum where I think, what would I do in that situation? Then they have evoked an emotional response out of me. I now have to ingrain myself in the film. And that's another thing. Now I feel like I'm part of it. I'm one of the characters. So those are like the two biggest ones for me. Third is probably blood. But
yeah, it's a rich tapestry, as I said. It's not easy, but I would say
cheap tapestry.
What you mentioned, I suppose is true too. I'm not a huge rewatcher like you. I mean, Michelle would probably argue that I am a rewatcher, but I'm not a huge, like, you rewatch movies a lot, and I don't tend to as often, but you know, some, I would say a handful of these I've watched more than once, but some of that was just because somebody came over and hadn't seen it. And I was like, all right, well, let's put it on. And a couple, most of these I've seen once or twice, well, once at least, but at any rate, I'm not a huge rewatcher, but I am big. Probably my number one thing is how did it leave me feeling, and how did I, think about it the days after. If I'm still thinking about a movie 2, 3, 4 days later and I can't stop thinking about it, then that, even if it's one that I maybe don't necessarily care to watch again real quickly, then that means a lot to me. And there have been some movies that my initial reaction was a little not great, but I couldn't stop thinking about it, and that changed my view of it after a while. And then there's some that I really, really liked immediately, and then I found myself not thinking about it at all after it was over. And there's one movie I think might be a surprise to you that it's not on my list. And that was kind of the case with it. I really didn't find myself thinking about it too much after. So with no further ado, Joe, do you want to start us off?
I certainly will. My number one movie of the year. Oh, wait, we're going the other way.
Yeah. And as our tradition, if I heard this on another podcast, and it's a pretty good idea, if one of us... If Joe says his number 10 is a movie that I have higher up on my list, I say it's higher, and we wait to talk about it until we get to where I have it, and vice versa. And then also, a CineScare tradition is the drum roll. So, Joe.
I was going to say, yeah, I can't start without the drum
roll. No, you have to have the drum roll. So, yeah. Joe, here you go. What is your number 10?
My number 10, I guess we don't even have to give the year because they're all 2024. Yeah. My number 10 is Mads.
Higher on my list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Slightly higher. Then I guess it's all yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
My number 10.
Drum.
Is The First Omen.
Not on my list.
Yeah, I didn't think that was, couldn't remember, but I don't think you cared for this one as much.
There's one.
Yeah. I figured this one wouldn't be on your list.
Off to a bad start.
I couldn't remember what you thought of it, but yeah, I didn't think you liked it as much as Mark and I did. But I love this movie. Who? I don't know. The name just popped into my head. The First Omen was a movie that I really, and this was one that I had something else in my number 10 spot. And these two movies, and I'll tell you after our top 10s are over why the other one wasn't on there, but it got pushed to 11 just because this was a movie I really did think about for a long time after, and it didn't have the recency, or maybe it is still considered recency bias if you watched it last spring and then you kind of think of newer things more. So I watched this again today and I was reminded of how just amazing it is. Incredible cinematography. The performance by Nell Tiger Free is fantastic. There's some genuinely creepy moments, some good jump scares, and some overall weirdness, which are three things I absolutely love in a movie. So this is one that I really enjoyed when it came out. It was sitting in my top five for a very long time. This was such a solid year for horror. Last year it might have been in my top five, I don't know, but I thought this was something that really stuck with me, and it's one that I thought about a lot. I love the pacing of it. I love the feel of this movie and the setting in Italy, all of that stuff, just and the story itself. I thought it's some genuinely scary stuff in that religious horror vibe. And it did push something else out that was one of those movies that I had a great reaction to, and I still think it's a good movie, but I just don't think about it that much. So anyway, that was my number 10, and that's The First Omen. So zipping right along when there's just two of us. all right, Joe, we are on to number 9.
Terrifier 3.
Not on my list.
Really?
Yeah. That's two. Okay, well, that would be two, because obviously if there are three movies list. Not on each other's list, then that would have to be, you know, yeah. That's one of the movies. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I went with Terrifier 3. I'm a big fan of the franchise, and as I've stated, one of my criteria is, of course, the more blood, the better, and I got it. I got bucket loads of it. And my only critique of this, well, I don't want to say only critique. Anyway, one critique I have that I would have appreciated, especially being the third installment in this series, is I would have liked for it to have that studio polished look. It still seems rather grainy and rather independent. Not that that's a total slam. And I guess it totally, you know, they may have been going for that. It does kind of go with what Art the Clown is and how this movie is supposed to feel, so I kind of get it. But he's a very interesting character. I love what they've done with it. Some of the special effects and the gore was just phenomenal. All I have to say to somebody who hasn't seen it is make sure you pay attention for the shower scene. So this is what I would hold as an equivalent to a Evil Dead Rise as far as gallons of blood, since I didn't get that this year. This is the closest thing I have for a replacement. So my number 9, Terrifier 3.
Yeah, no, I really like this one too. It's, you know, it's not on my list, and I didn't like it nearly as much as part 2. Part 2 was like my number 2 movie of that year, that it, whatever year that was, it came out.
Was it in your top 20?
It's at 21.
Wow. Yeah.
But okay. It really comes down to, it's not so much this, it's not that I didn't like that movie. I liked it a lot. And I thought, yes, the special, yeah. the practical gore was fantastic. I got a little bored at times in that movie. It just, there wasn't enough. And it was just the same thing. I didn't feel as drawn into the story this time as I was last time. And if yeah, there were set pieces, but again, I think I compared it when I did my first review to like watching a porn movie. Mm-hmm. After a while, it gets just, even though it's exciting in and of itself, each of those set pieces, after a while, it just got boring to me. Whereas the second one didn't really, because I felt like there was more I thought the stakes were higher. I did like the look. I like that grainy look, and I appreciate that. Like, I hope he never, I'm the exact opposite of you, shockingly. I hope he never comes up with a Hollywood polished movie, like at least not in this series. I like the graininess. I think that adds something to it. But yeah, the low budget feel. But anyway, it wasn't in my top 10, so I shouldn't go on.
I love how there's this stuff that you find boring, and way on the other end of the spectrum is the stuff that you are thrilled with that I find boring.
Yeah.
polar opposites in every way, shape, or form.
I don't find, you know, it's hard to explain, but it, you know, it's,
I agree with the whole porn metaphor.
Yeah.
I completely get it.
If you just showed me scenes of this movie, but when it puts all together and it's 2.5 hours long, mm-hmm. and it's just one set piece after the next, and they're kind of loosely tied together in a story that, you know, I didn't think was as great.
You just want to see the money shot and get out of there.
Our buddy Vincent DeSanti has some very pointed things to say about this movie. He is not a fan, but I digress. But that's not, you know, I liked it and I argued with him about it. I think it's a great, you know, a great slasher movie. And I agree with you. It offered some blood in a year where there really wasn't that much, and it was a slasher in a year where there was almost none, except for you know, a couple here and there. So I hope the guy keeps making these movies. I just hope he doesn't feel the need to make it 3 hours next time. You know,
I don't know how valid this is, but I heard just yesterday that Terrifier 4 is going to be set at Easter.
Talk about, that's going to be pure sacrilege right there. Yep. That's going to be fun. But I hope he can bring down that. I know he wants to put all of his fun stuff in each movie, but I do think it goes a bit too long.
It's got to be 90 minutes to 120 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. Anything beyond that, I don't need it.
And I know, you know, he's like, I want to show you this trick and I want to show you that. But, you know, keep in mind that also we need a little something, you know, that keeps us locked in. Yeah. And that's probably my boredom came not from, but just from how long it was and how many scenes that it took.
Yeah. You know?
Anyway. All right. My number 9 is Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person.
Not on my list.
I thought, did you see it?
It's a 3. No, I haven't seen it. That's why it's not.
Oh,
I never got
it. I was pushing you to watch that. This is one that I really loved, and I liked it. You know, to be honest, there's several movies that could be in these top few spots. But this one, I just felt like it was a different kind of film. It's sort of a comedy, romantic comedy, sort of in the vein I guess the tone of Spontaneous, maybe to some degree, but it's a little more almost like if Wes Anderson made a horror movie. And I love Wes Anderson movies. Of course, it's French, but this one is about it's a vampire family. And Sasha is a young vampire with a serious problem. She's too sensitive to kill. When her exasperated parents cut her off blood supply, Sasha's life is in jeopardy. Luckily, she meets Paul, a lonely teenager with suicidal tendencies who is willing to give his life to save hers. But their friendly agreement soon becomes a nocturnal quest to fulfill Paul's last wishes before day breaks. So it's a really cute, bloody but cute horror romance comedy. And I think it's definitely worth checking out. This was one of my it's very charming. It's just a charming film, very unlike anything else on my list. So I liked that as well. I think that kind of helped me put it at number nine, because it's unlike anything else I saw this year. Sort of like, I guess, kind of almost like your number 9 with Terrifier 3 was unlike most anything else we saw this year. And that kind of makes it fit for number 9 as well. And for me, same thing. So aside from that, it is a really good movie. I think one of our listeners, Nicole, I think it was Nicole. She said that she absolutely loved this film. And I think if you're into Wes Anderson and you're into horror movies and whatnot, I think you'll really like it. It's a charming, funny, touching kind of thing. So, all right, we are on to number 8.
Well, speaking of movies that you pushed on me to watch, my number 8, Strange Darling.
Oh, not on my list, but good. I'm glad it's on yours.
I fell in love with this immediately.
I knew you would.
What was going on.
Yep, I knew you would.
The synopsis is, nothing is what it seems when a twisted one-night stand spirals into a serial killer's vicious murder spree. And I would like to go back and reread the word twisted, because it's filled with twists. I am constantly surprised of just how quickly people make up their opinion based on things that are taken out of context, based on things that they don't know the full story. And that's exactly what this movie is. They paint, I really don't want to give any of this away. There's a picture painted for you and you see one spot of it. And based on that one spot, you've got the whole story made up in your head. And guess what? You're wrong. If you back up and you could see the bigger picture, you would totally switch sides of who you're rooting for and whatnot. But it's Willa Fitzgerald. I've never seen in anything before, but she was phenomenal. Kyle Gallner is in numerous films, action, horror, comedies. He's fantastic in this film. I hated him from the get-go and loved him throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
I highly recommend this. Don't research anything when you watch it. Just take my word for it. Download it. Take your phone. Throw it across the room. Pay attention and enjoy. Because it's one turn after another. And it's got Ed Begley Jr. in it, of all things. You should watch it just for that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I thank you again very much for recommending this. I loved it.
Yeah. I knew you were going to like that the minute I saw it. And I really liked it, too. It is sitting just after my top 10. So definitely great movie.
No crossover. In our list. We've had one.
We're about to.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
And my number 8 is Mads.
There you go. That's the only one so far.
So, yes, this was, I absolutely love this movie. It is, it was shot all in one take. And I think it's a French movie. Teenager drops off to see his dealer to test a new drug before heading off for the night of partying. On the way home, he picks up an injured woman and the night takes a surreal turn. And it is. It's all set. It's all done in real time. And we follow one character and then we follow another. And just the technical aspect of this is, I don't know how they did it. It's just daunting. There were only a couple kind of small flubs. I saw the cameraman's shadow once or twice, very briefly. And that was only because I was looking for it. Like, I think if you let yourself just completely get caught up, you won't notice those little things. But otherwise, I don't know how they did it. Like, they followed this character for a while. It seemed, well, this is semi-similar or simple. It's one character driving, you know, they had to get a cameraman into the backseat of a car, convertible at one point, and they, you know, they follow one or two characters, but then they move into a party and there's stuff going on that has to be timed just right. And it's insane. It's almost like a Noises Off of horror movies or something. It's how they timed this, how they got it just right. It's amazing. And I think one of the best zombie movies I've seen in a very long time. So, Joe, what did you think of Mads?
I think this should be required viewing in every film school. I think this is like Olympic level filmmaking, and it literally exhausted me. So you had recommended this.
Yeah.
And I was on my way to go to the gym and all I was going to do was cardio. I was just going to walk on a treadmill. So I started watching the movie on my phone and listening to it in my headphones while on the treadmill. I walked the entire film. It's an hour and a half long.
Holy shit.
I normally do an hour. So I watched this entire thing while walking. And then I got home and I told you how much I liked it. And then you said something about it all being done in one take. And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I took a shower and I immediately went back and rewatched it the same day. And I could not get, I liked it like 100 times more.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
luckily, the gym I go to, there's not a huge line of people waiting for the cardio equipment. So it was not that big of a deal.
That's hilarious. You got some good walking. You got your steps in that day.
I got my steps in for like 2 days. Yeah.
I noticed it after about, I don't know, sometime after he left the drug dealer's place, he gets in his car and I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't notice a cut there. And then he stops. And then I notice the camera moving into the car and out of the car. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I told Michelle, I was like, I think this is all one take. And sure enough, and I was looking, because Birdman is shot to look like it's all one take, but there are hidden cuts. Like when they move past a wall, there'll be a hidden cut there or whatever, but they had very long cuts. This is the entire movie. So bravo to them. I don't know how they did it. That must have, absolutely insane, the kind of planning and logistics involved in that. So, okay.
All right.
So I think our next 6. I think our next 6 we will share those movies. All right. Not the same order, but they will be on each of our lists. Right.
I bet you the next one you're wrong.
Okay. All right. Here we go. And
number this 7, is right?
Joe's number 7. Oh, wait. No, so sorry. That was the wrong one. That was the wrong one. There we go.
The Coffee Table.
Oh, no, it's not on my list.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many is that or that have been on your list that haven't been on mine? 3?
Well, my number, we shared number 10, or my number 10. But you didn't have Terrifier 3. You didn't have Strange Darling. You didn't have Coffee Table.
Okay, so that's our 3.
And then you had others that I didn't have.
Humanist Vampire and First Omen. So there's one more of mine that won't be on your list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Coffee Table. All I heard was people saying, oh, you got to watch the Coffee Table. Oh, you got to watch the Coffee Table. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know why they called it the Coffee Table. I cringe just thinking of this film. It's here, Jesus and Maria. I'm sorry, Jesus and Maria, I guess, are a couple going through a difficult time in their relationship. Nevertheless, they have just become parents. And to shape their new life, they decide to buy a new coffee table for their house, and a decision that will change their existence completely. I do want to watch this movie again, but it's like I need to watch it with like a bit or a strap of leather or something in my mouth, because I know that I'm just going to be clenching my jaw so much while trying to get through it, because there's such a horrific event that happens that you don't even get to see.
Right.
But you know it happens. You hear about it happening. You hear it happening. And it's so unspeakable. It's so deplorable that your mind paints the worst picture possible.
Yeah.
And it's just gut-wrenching after that. You don't see anything. It's just, you put yourself in the shoes of the father, Jesus, about what's going on from that point on. And you feel terrible, and you just keep yelling in your head, oh my God, just say something.
Yeah.
You're never going to get away with this. You have no end game.
Yeah.
And it left such an impression on me that, it's certainly memorable. I don't know that I have to watch it again, but I kind of want to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, I think it's a good movie too. It's just, it's in a year full of movies that I liked more than it. That's all. But, it is a good one. I highly recommend it to people, because it is a harrowing situation that this guy's in. And it's then played with a dark comedy that's very interesting. I had some quibbles with it, but I don't need to go into those, but I liked it. I thought it was good.
I got to point out the first like 10 minutes of the film, we're in their furniture store and that guy's trying to sell him a coffee table.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
It's such a slice of life. I absolutely.
Totally. Love it, so. Yeah. Okay. So what is this number? Yeah. 7. My 7. Number 7. And this will probably be shit. Why do I keep doing that? This will probably
because it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking this is higher on your list or my whole theory is going to be fucked.
Okay.
My number 7 is Long Legs.
It is higher on my list.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. All right. See, now we're overlapping.
Okay. Joe. Now I get it. Now we're jiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like two things of a zipper come together.
It's like we're sitting on each other's merging laps on a toilet.
Exactly. Facing each other.
Oh, no. Oh, sweet Jesus. Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm number six. Say who's on top.
Okay. Here is number six.
In a violent nature.
That is my number six, too.
All right.
Yeah, perfect.
We agree on something.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'll read this one. A locket is removed from a collapsed fire tower in the woods that entombs the rotting corpse of Johnny, a vengeful spirit spurred on by a horrific 70-year-old crime. His body is resurrected and becomes hell-bent on retrieving it. For those of you who haven't seen it, what that basically boils down to is it's a slasher film, but it's told completely from the perspective of the slasher, not the victim.
Right.
And one of my favorite things, it's a tremendous film, and I think it breathed new life into the whole slasher genre.
Yeah.
It was definitely a new, innovative take on it. I love the character design. Johnny is spectacular. Usually, you know, the easiest thing, especially in all these B ripoff films, is just find a goofy mask and put it on the guy, and that's going to be our icon. And they didn't do that. They did find a mask, but they put some thought into it, and this mask is creepy. And I'm really surprised we didn't see more of that around Halloween time. But
yeah,
my biggest compliment to this film is the weapon of choice. It's basically a hook on a chain, and on the other end of the chain, another hook.
Yeah.
It's very simple, very basic, but the things that Johnny can do with this thing are tremendous.
Oh, 100%. One
of my, if not the favorite kills of the year, is the girl doing yoga on the cliff. And yes, it delivered in every aspect.
Yeah.
It was a great thrill ride from beginning to end. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, this was, you know, like Terrifier 3, it had set pieces and delivered them really well. I felt like this was a tighter movie than Terrifier 3, but it also, I know a lot of people compare it to, it's almost like Friday the 13th. You're following it along like an open world video game of Friday the 13th, and the other characters are like NPCs, you know, in a video game, the first person. But it's also there's a lot of the burning in this as well, at least especially in terms of how the killer functions. But I just think that this was exciting to me, and I was excited for it, and it delivered. A lot of times you go see a movie that gets hyped up, and a movie like that for me was Late Night with the Devil. That was one that got very, very hyped up for me, and I didn't come away from it feeling much of anything. And I know a lot of people disagree. That in fact, I'm sure a lot of listeners, if you post your top 10 lists, it will, Late Night with the Devil might be on your list. I know it hit home for a lot of people. For me, it didn't, but this was one that delivered. Like, I had my hype expectations were high, and it delivered for me. And I loved, there's just something almost, I don't know, almost like comfort food about just watching this guy kind of trudge through the woods looking for victims. I could have sat there watching this the whole time. I did feel like I wish it had ended about 5 minutes earlier than it did. But even so, and it, once I found out about who that the actress was in the truck with the girl, then I kind of appreciated it more. Also, I thought that the wood chipper, or not wood chipper, but the wood, what was it? A wood cutter?
Splitter.
Wood splitter. The wood splitter log kill. Splitter. Log splitter. That whole kill was very well done, seamlessly done. There's some great practical effects. Also, there's a great head smashing kill with a big stone I thought was very well done and seamless. So this was a old school slasher movie, but done in a very modern and interesting way, very different way. So, all right. So we matched up on number six again. I think we're heading toward a patch here of overlap.
Okay.
Number five, Joe.
This has got to be on your list. Oddity.
It's my number five.
All right.
Yep. Oh, 100%.
This Oddity is just really on the nose for a title for this film. There's it's a psychic medium attempts to uncover the truth behind her sister's murder at the site of the crime. The set pieces in this film are so bizarre. You've the woman being left at home while her husband's away and she's trying to fix it up, and she's got a sister who's blind, but it's like an art curator. And then you've got this wooden carved man, and it's just, there's so many odd quote unquote things in this story, but they've pieced together so well.
Yeah.
And this is what I was saying before earlier about anytime a movie can make me think, oh my God, what would I do in that scenario? There's the scene, opening scene in this movie. This woman is home alone in this castle, like out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if it's a castle, whatever. Anyway, there's a knock at the door and this stranger pokes his head and is like, somebody came in your house. And you don't know if you should believe him or not. Maybe he's trying to help you. Maybe it's a ruse to come in and kill you. I don't know. And that had me going for most of the films. Like, what would I do? What would I do? Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? I don't know. But it was such a fun ride. And that's a lot of what my top five films are. It's just, did I have fun watching this? And I did, wholeheartedly. I think everyone should watch this.
No, I thought that Oddity was a great creep fest. It was there were some creepy moments. There were some jump scares. There were some ghostly moments in it, but there are also this kind of creature feature element to it as well. I thought that the storyline, it was a bit of a mystery, and it wasn't, you know, it was one of those mysteries that this, and, you know, the answer to the mystery isn't necessarily a massive surprise, but it's how it unfolds and how it happened that was surprising. And I thought that it was a brilliant ending too. I absolutely loved the ending. The ending was so great. And this is one, you know, I love it. It also hits a lot of my wheelhouse, the ghost thing, old British country house horror, all those kinds of things are just really in my wheelhouse. And so I absolutely adored this movie the first time I saw it. And I'm glad it's getting so much love too, because I have looked around at a lot of other people's top 10 lists, and it is on all of the major ones that I've seen. It's somewhere near the top. So again, that was our number five. So awesome. I told you. I'm going to die if it's the same number here. Four. Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't know. Well, we'll see. All right. So our number four.
My number four is Smile 2.
Oh, it's not on my list. Yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew we were off.
Ah, damn. So we're going to be four off at least. Yeah. Damn.
For those of you who haven't seen Smile 1, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm not sure if it made my top 10 list or not. It very well may have, but Part 2 I liked so much better. And again, as I stated, my top five are all about fun, and I just simply had fun watching this in the theater. It was fun from beginning to end. The pacing was great. I absolutely adored the ending. There was plenty of blood. There was good jump scares. The kills were great. It kept me guessing through most of it. I know this is going to oversimplify it. I don't want to give anything away. Not that there really is. But I enjoyed it. This was fun. I can't wait to actually own this, where I will watch it over and over and over again.
I think it might be available now, isn't it?
Not on physical disc, or maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Oh, you're talking about physical. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is something I want to have like in my collection. I have Smile 1, so I just figured I might as well get them both.
Yeah.
So there you go. Smile 2.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's a movie I really like too. I love it. It's you know, it's past my top 10, but it was a great movie, and I think I don't remember if Mark was on the show when we when we all watched that or not, but I think we all liked it. I know I talked to Jimmy, even Jimmy was like, oh, I love that movie. So,
yeah.
And I liked the first, I liked the second one more than the first one.
So as did I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So my number four, but that was your number four, right?
Correct. That was my number four.
Okay. Yeah. So my number four is Stop Motion.
Not in my top 10.
Oh, yeah. Stop Motion is, this for a long time was my number one. And for a long time this year was not my number one until probably this fall, maybe. This was one that I absolutely loved the minute I saw it. I've seen it a couple times since. And I think that the, you know, just the whole concept, it's such a great concept. Like the whole, I like stop motion anyway. I know you're a huge fan of stop motion. So I am kind of surprised it's not in your top 10 because of your love of stop motion. But
I am not surprised that you're surprised.
Is that your new line or something? I'm not surprised that you're surprised.
No, you should be surprised.
I
like to keep you guessing too. It wasn't done on purpose. It's just that's how it felt.
Yeah,
it's
no,
my
I know,
number 12, if that helps.
I mean, I'm not judging you. Obviously, we can only have 10 and we had a year full of movies that could make it. But but you are such a huge stop motion fan. But anyway, I thought that Aisling Franciosi was fantastic in this. The whole cast is great. I thought that it had this kind of almost liminal quality, dreamlike quality, dream logic quality to it. Hallucinatory vibe as well, and especially in a couple scenes, really strong, which all of those things I just absolutely love about, you know, I love in any movie, but this one I thought it did just right. And there's some pretty gnarly body horror as well in a couple of scenes in the last act of this movie as this woman really kind of devolves or whatever. So I think probably a lot of people have seen this, so I won't spend too much time talking about it. But if you haven't seen it, please go out and watch it. This is really a great movie. And I really, when I first saw it, and I think this came out last spring, if not last winter, maybe something like that.
It was last winter. It was really early in the year.
It was early in the year. I really thought to myself, this is going to be a really good year if this isn't my number one, because my feeling coming out of this movie was so strong. And it was, again, all of my top 10, but especially these top 5, 6, 7 movies were movies that I thought about a lot after seeing them. So that's my number four. All right. Well, already my theory's fucked because I think now we've had at least 4 each that aren't on each other's list. So.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because it, you know, we can talk about different movies and
you know how boring it would be if we had our own top 10 list and we only listed off 10 films.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Number 3, Joe.
Believe it or not, Long Legs.
Oh, okay. Good. Excellent.
Was
there some overlap
on your list?
It was number 7. Yeah.
Okay.
Just passed In a Violent Nature.
I never thought I would say these words out loud, and I am confident in saying them only watching this for the second time. Nicolas Cage was necessary for this film. I will completely admit my feelings of Nicolas Cage going into this film made me not thrilled to go see it. However, that got quickly wiped away off the slate the minute I saw him on stage. McKay Monroe, believe I'm saying her name correctly. Micah Monroe. She's absolutely phenomenal in this. I particularly was a big fan of Alicia Witt, although I have been a fan of hers for years.
Yeah.
She was the redhead. Anyway, the movie is very, in my opinion, reminiscent of like a Silence of the Lambs. And however, we get to spend a lot more time, in my opinion, focusing on this Long Legs character of Nicolas Cage, which is just beyond creepy. I'm trying to think of somebody else that could have played that role, and I don't have much luck.
Yeah.
He was absolutely perfect for that.
He
nailed it 100%. And the movie's a good thrill ride. So, and again, I had fun watching it. So
Yeah, and there's a little Silence of the Lambs in this. There's a little, it's kind of got a Lynchian vibe. Of course, Osgood Perkins is the director, Anthony Perkins' son, and he has, you know, kind of a David Lynch vibe to a lot of his movies. Mike and Monroe's great. Blair Underwood, they brought him back for this movie, and I hadn't seen him for a long time, and it was great to see him in something again. But again, yes, the centerpiece of this movie is Nicolas Cage and his performance, which I am a huge Nicolas Cage fan, and I thought that he's so freaking weird in this, just so bizarre, and that you know, that kind of chant that he does, you know, let me in, that I think Mark did, let me in now chant, that is just, you know, he's just one of the creepiest villains we've had in a long time.
So. I know, and the backstory that he invented for his character was just, oh, it's just so
weird. Yeah
terrifyingly weird.
Yeah, very, very strange. So all right, my number three is Nosferatu.
Not on my list.
Not on your list. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Yes, this is Robert Eggers, I guess, remake of the original Nosferatu, and it is a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted young woman and the terrifying vampire infatuated with her, causing untold horror in its wake. I thought that, you know, this is just, I think it's a brilliant movie. It's brilliant, brilliantly directed by Robert Eggers. I talked about it recently, and I guess the last episode, so I don't need to go too far into it, but I just think this is a beautifully done film, absolutely gorgeous cinematography. It's intense, a very intense film. Bill Skarsgård is great in it as Count Orlok. Nicholas Hoult, I think, was born to play this kind of role, that Jonathan Harker role, and Lily Rose Depp is fantastic, and of course Willem Dafoe is great. It's a great cast. It has some Christmas atmosphere in it as well, which I guess is, they added in there, or maybe that was why it was released on Christmas. I don't know, but such a great movie, and I was looking forward to it. And again, this is one of those movies that I was looking forward to for quite some time, and for me, it definitely lived up to the hype. So I saw it a couple weeks ago, and then Michelle and I went to it again the other day, and she loved it as well. She after it was over, she's like, "Oh my God, that was so intense." She loved it. So this was, you know, fighting in there, but I just had to go with, you know, I felt like there'd be a little recency bias with this one, and I really feel like the two I have ahead of it are really, for me, deserve to be in my top two movies of the year because of how I felt about them for quite some time. So Nosferatu, number three. What was your number three?
Long Legs.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, Joe, number two.
Wait, four.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'll say it now. I just wanted to say, for the record, my number one and my number two arm wrestled back and forth for quite some time.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, are quite interchangeable. And even now, looking at what I decided on my number one, I still have regret, but I feel like even if I switched them back, I'd still have it. So I just said, hell with it. I picked this. This is what I'm going with. They're both tremendous films. But anyway, yeah. My number two is Heretic.
Not on my list.
Okay.
No, not, I should say, not in my top 10. Yeah.
Okay. So this movie really struck a chord with me. Hugh Grant, I think, was tremendous. He is just as creepy as he is charming. This is the story of two young religious women who are drawn into a game of cat and mouse with a very strange man, obviously played by Hugh Grant. This was written by Scott Beck and Brian Woods from Quad Cities, which, yep, I think they did a fantastic job doing all the research. It's very thought-provoking. I loved the music and how the music plays a part in this film. I have since purchased this film and now have watched it four times since I originally saw it in the theater. So this definitely strikes a huge chord on me for rewatchability. So if you haven't seen it, please go see it. You can rent it in the comfort of your own home, but that's Heretic. It's an A24 film.
Yeah, this was obviously an excellent movie, and I agree. Beck and Woods, those guys from Bettendorf, they are just killing it, and they did a great job. This was probably the best Hugh Grant performance maybe ever, but at least in the last decade or two. I don't remember what he's done since, but it is a great performance. I like the two lead girls. I kind of had The First Omen and Heretic even, and I felt like that I had some problems with the third act of Heretic, not problems, but some quibbles. And, I just had a better feeling about The Omen, but they're very close. In fact, Heretic is my number 11 movie. So, all right, well, on to, and I have a feeling this number two is going to be your number one, so let me do the drum roll. My number two is The Substance.
Higher.
Yeah, all right, so go ahead, yeah. Joe, it's your number one, go ahead.
All right, it's an absolutely true, well, here, let's just read the synopsis. A fading celebrity takes a black market drug, a cell replicant substance that temporarily creates a younger, better, maybe it should be in air quotes, better version of herself. Demi Moore is in this, Margaret Qualley, Dennis Quaid, they're all exceptional in this film. Black, what's that Twilight Zone-ish type?
Like a black comedy kind of thing, or
no. There's a series on Netflix from Britain.
Oh, Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. This is a Black Mirror episode.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's, or Twilight Zone. You could go that far. I love there's even little nods and hints to the Shining in this film, which were spectacular.
Yes.
But I think the ending is what threw me for an absolute loop. The ending of this film reminds me entirely of the ending of Men from 2022, which I absolutely love. It's just a total mindfuck of a movie. But this is a tremendous tale. I actually, this is another one that I'm probably just going to end up adding to my physical library and so I can watch it over and over again. But yeah, my number one is The Substance.
Yeah, no, this is, I loved The Substance as well. Obviously it's my number two, and Demi Moore, it's just such, you know, you hear, and I think I may have said this when I did my first review of it, you hear people talk about brave performances or whatever, and most of the time it's not that brave, but this was a brave performance. This is she is the character. She's an actress who I don't know if I'd say she was a sex symbol when she was younger, but she was a leading lady. She was, you know,
I would say that.
Yeah.
She did striptease.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, striptease even she did when she was a little older, right?
Older, yeah.
Yeah. But when she was young and doing, you know, like Rat Pack movies and things like that in the 70s or 80s and, you know, A Few Good Men or whatever, she was a leading lady, certainly, and known as for her looks, I suppose, but she showed everything in this movie, like her every nook and cranny of her body and her aged, you know, I mean, she's got a terrific body for her age, obviously, but it's not the same, and it's not, you know, as it was. And so that is a brave performance. I mean, she's completely nude. So is Margaret Qualley. They're both, you know, they both had, you know, put it all out there literally in this movie, and fantastic performances. I really hope that this is a movie that I think that should be recognized by, you know, if there's any justice, by the Academy Awards for these performances. Best actress for Demi Moore and supporting for Margaret Qualley, maybe. But they were both fantastic. And Dennis Quaid should probably get a nod for supporting as well. He was creepy.
Just for best shrimp eater.
True. Yeah. But this was just a fantastic movie, and certainly was up there vying for my number one as well. So, and this will probably not be a big surprise to Joe what my number one is. Red Rooms. This was by far my favorite movie of the year. And
higher.
Yeah. It's
It
follows the high-profile case of a serial killer, Ludovic Chevalier, as he's gone to trial, and Kelly Ann is obsessed. When reality blurs her morbid fantasy, she goes down a dark path to seek the final pieces of the case's puzzle. This is, I thought, was just a fascinating movie. I was enthralled throughout this thing. I thought that it was very disturbing in a very different way. Hearing the sounds of the girls being tortured and murdered and not seeing it, it sort of reminded me of the ear-cutting scene from
Reservoir Dogs,
where the camera looks away. So you don't actually see it happen, but you can hear it happening and the guy screaming. And that, you know, that was very shocking to a lot of people when Reservoir Dogs first came out. And I think maybe Pulp Fiction might have had
coffee table.
The coffee table as well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you do kind of see the aftermath of it, but what you, I mean, you kind of, there's this dread involved when that mm-hmm. thing crashes.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah. And so this really plays on, theater of the mind. It plays on that theater of the mind when we hear the sounds. And then there's a scene where it's basically these two girls who are obsessed with this case and are, and this is this is a modern day issue, serial killers becoming popular stars and women being obsessed with these killers when they're on trial. And so there's these two women who go every day to watch the trial. And one of them is this younger girl. And one of them is our lead, Kelly Ann. And Kelly Ann has access to some of these videos because she works on the deep web, and she shows the videos to one of the girls. So we see them watching, and I don't remember if the sounds are played the second time. We just see their reactions. Maybe they do. I don't remember now, but
I think they had headphones on.
They had headphones. So we don't really, see the reactions. Yeah. But they do play the sounds when they ask everybody except for the jury to leave the courtrooms to play the video of one of the girls being, basically, they're tortured and murdered in these rooms they call red rooms in the dark web, where people bid to watch it or to receive the video. And so we don't see the video. Like I said, we hear it. And that, I thought, is as disturbing as anything else I saw this year in a very, very different way. So this one was one that really hit me hard, and I loved it. It's not a one that I'll probably rewatch a whole lot, although I do intend to over the break watch it again. But this is one that in terms of the thinking about it afterwards, this stuck with me for days and weeks, and even now I think back on it, and so it really tripped that trigger for me. So yeah, how many did we wind up with that were the same? Let's see. We had The Substance. We had Oddity.
Yeah.
In a violent nature, long legs.
Yeah.
Mads. Yeah. So five out of 10.
Yeah.
I was two off, or technically four off, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, Joe, having said our top 10, what's your, I don't know how far you've ranked.
I went
things.
Through 20.
I've gone to 25, but 20 okay. Really. Yeah.
So my 20, is that how it goes? 20 to 11?
Sure.
Okay. My 20 was Disappear Completely.
I haven't seen that one actually yet. Yeah.
My 19 was Humane.
All right. Not mine.
Yeah. Which I believe. But you watched it, right?
I did watch it. Yeah.
Okay. My 18 was Red Rooms.
Okay.
My 17 was Cuckoo. 16 was Speak No Evil. 15 was Alien Romulus. 14, which I'd like to discuss, Last Straw.
I haven't seen that.
Okay. I just watched it two nights ago. Like, I'm glad we postponed, our recording time, because I watched it that night. And this is new to Shudder. A small town killing spree lands on the doorstep of a rural diner where a young waitress must fight for her life over the course of one long night. It was really good. A lot of blood. I think you should watch it. Okay. It was fun. Yeah. Nice little twist, but I don't want to talk too much about it, give anything away. But it's on Shudder, so it's free. Huh. Number 13, Abigail. Again, because it was about fun, and I did have fun watching that. My number 12 was Stop Motion, and my number 11 is You'll Never Find Me.
My number 20 was Immaculate. My number 19 was Sleep. Number 18 was The Vortiluck. Number 17 was Smile 2. My number 16 was the Kindness of Strangers, that short that we watched at the Chicago Horror Film Festival. I put that, I thought, you know what? I'm putting that.
I would have totally put that in there. I totally forgot about it.
It wouldn't have vied for my top 10, but I totally put it in my top 20 at least. Mm-hmm. It might not be fair to do that for a festival movie because I don't know when it's going to be released where people could see it widely. So it might be a next year movie technically, but
maybe you could put it in next year's list.
Yeah,
too.
That's true. Yeah. But I highly recommend anyone when it does come out, we will let you know when it does come out to a platform that where it can be watched widely. Or if it's released online in a film festival or something like that. But right now it's in festivals, but it's fantastic. So I put number 15 as Chime, which is a Japanese film by the same director as Pulse. And this is one that is very unsettling in a very different kind of way. Joe, you should not watch it. You'll hate it. But this one I really liked. Renting it is takes some guts to rent it because the renting process for this movie is very unusual. You have to, it's very unusual, and I didn't feel safe doing it really. But they used a different way of renting this movie, and I'm not quite sure.
Did it involve your mother's maiden name?
No, but it was rough. Number 14 was Exuma, which I was
expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah, this one was very. You know, all of these top four or 14 through 11 were vying for number 10. Actually, I wrestled with all of them. But Exuma, I really like that movie. That one's on Shudder. Check it out. Cuckoo was my number 13. Strange Darling was number 12, and Heretic was number 11. So I did see Speak No Evil recently and I liked it. So but that one wasn't in my top 20. So, yeah. Well, we did it, Joe. So
we did it again.
I know. Another year has gone by, and we've told everyone exactly what are the best.
How many
movies
did you watch this past year?
Horror movies. Well, new horror movies. 49.
Hang on. I just got to find my list. And this won't take long. Lists, 52.
Okay.
So like one a week.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah. So I'm kind of surprised I didn't see more than that because it felt like I did. But of course, we're watching other movies as well. So.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Those of you out there, the listeners, we're going to be posting for you guys to give us your top 10 lists if you've seen 10 horror movies this year. If not, just give us your list of your favorites that you've seen or whatever. If you've seen 10 then or more than 10, give us your top 10 lists, and we'd love to hear.
If you've only seen one, tell us what it is.
Tell us what you love. So
Quit making me guess.
We'll be posting something for you guys to do that. In fact, we may have already done that, I guess, once this episode releases. And of course, I guess we'll post our top 10s sometime in the week after the episode comes out. So,
yeah, we want to make you work for it. You got to listen to the whole episode.
All right. Got to listen to the episode.
We're not just going to hand it to you.
Yeah, no. That wouldn't make much sense if we just posted our lists right away. So listen to the episode. So
we should publish our list before the episode comes out on Facebook.
Yeah.
See if anyone's paying attention.
All right. So our next episode, I guess, is my pick.
It is.
And
watch Nosferatu 3 times.
Yeah. Joe, would you like to watch some British horror movies with me?
I'm not doing that.
Would you like to watch some British horror movies with me?
Are there British horror movies?
There are British horror movies.
And I hope there's at least three.
Oh, there's more than three, Joe. There's a whole bunch, but we're only going to watch three.
Just Shaun of the Dead?
We're going to watch Shaun of the Dead.
Are we really?
Yeah. First one, Shaun of the Dead from 2004. This movie is for rent or on Stars, if you have Stars.
If you people don't own it, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to watch World's End, too?
No. And then next, we are going to watch The Innocents from 1961.
Okay.
This is like a haunted house kind of. Oh, shit. This one's not available. Ah, crap. I thought it was. No, it's only available on disc. Damn it. All right. Sorry. Scratch that. We're not watching The Innocents. I screwed that one up. That's okay. I've got several to choose from here. The next one is Kill List from 2011. And this is on Shudder. I don't know how I missed whether or not The Innocents was on a streaming service. But anyway, Kill List is on Shudder. And last but not least, screw it. We're going to watch The Ritual from 2017. And that is on Netflix.
The Ritual. Why do I think I've seen that?
I'm pretty sure you have. It's the guys go off into the woods on a vacation or whatever. Yeah. It's a good movie. I haven't watched it in a while. So,
funny thing about that, Rafe Spall, who's like the lead guy in The Ritual.
From Downton Abbey.
He was also in Shaun of the Dead, but honestly, you wouldn't recognize him at all. He's, when Sean goes into work at the appliance store and he's, there's that other character who tells him, hey, you got red on you.
Oh yeah.
That's him. Huh. But he was so much younger and it was so much heavier. You'd like hardly recognize him. He was in Prometheus too. You wouldn't know.
What's his name?
Rafe Spall, S-P-A-L-L.
Rafe Spall. Oh, no, I'm thinking of somebody else. Okay. I'm thinking of one of the other guys that was on Downton Abbey. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And we have never done Shaun of the Dead. So I figured.
How have we done 3,000 episodes?
I know.
And we've done Shaun of the Dead.
I know. As far as I remember, unless I'm forgetting, but I think
you're right.
I don't think we've ever done Shaun of the Dead. And I don't
think somebody really ought to finish that IMBD.
Yeah.
That database of movies we've watched.
That's true. Like
beta days. Yeah.
Beta days. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is Shaun of the Dead, which is for rent. The Ritual is on Netflix and Kill List is on Shudder. So those are your movies. Right. We may have a special guest next time too.
Yeah. And so you at home can play along and make your own kill list. Let us know who you want to kill.
100%. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we did it.
We did it
for another year. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. 2025 is going to be so much better.
It is. It's going to be
2024 just sucks balls.
Yeah. 100%. So I guess go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Also, check out our trailer for our new short movie on Halloween night. That is, you can find that on our CineScare page. Also, what was I going to say? There was something. Oh, we did get accepted to a couple of film festivals. Spooky Fest, I think, is one in California that we have been invited to. So we should be hearing from more. We should be hearing from more film festivals very soon, including hopefully the Chicago Horror Film Festival, because I would love to go do that one again. That was fun.
Any day now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we heard about that one in maybe March last year, so we should hear about it before too long. They start releasing theirs. They don't wait until, like, a lot of these film festivals wait until the day of notifications to notify, but Chicago starts releasing their list a lot earlier. So we might start hearing soon, even sooner. I don't know.
I'll reserve the condo just in case.
Yes. Excellent. Yes. Tell Liz we might need it. So,
okay.
And I think it's this year it's over Memorial Day weekend. So,
oh, is it
really? Yeah. It'll be easier to go for me anyway. Yeah. So,
okay.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're so senseless, Claire.